All right, okay, no problem. All right.
Okay.
Yes, please.
It's a question I have that is...
Can you hear in the far corners?
No.
Maybe I can.
I will try.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes people just have to come a bit closer. There's lots of space around. Anyway, sorry.
Okay. It's a question I have, and it can relate to what you said about devotion.
Mm. Okay.
Devotion and sacrificing something into it.
Yes.
I'm writing.
You're writing?
Yes. I'm not a writer, but I'm writing.
Good.
Okay. And... I have a lot of questions since also I started. I'm a beginner,
yes,
in Vipassana.
Mm-hmm.
But I have these questions. What is, in one way, to live the minute, maybe it means not writing or not even trying.
Oh dear.
Okay.
You put me in a difficult spot. I've written 14 books, and I am so go on, carry on. All right. What are you writing about? Let me ask.
It's. I have short stories, and I also have something that is much longer, but.
Oh yeah.
It's not.
All right.
Right now, it's not. I'm not in touch with it.
No. But, so, let me get the picture. From time to time, the creativity comes, it's expressing itself in short stories, and there's a flow to it, and there's writing going on, and there's no need for the writer. It's just the writing is the important.
Yes, the writing is important, but I can't say, when you're saying a flow, and I wish I could say that.
Mm.
I can't say it's a flow. It's more that from time to time I decide. Okay, so I will do it. When I decide, it's sometimes I sit in front of the computer and nothing comes, and sometimes it does. But I should decide to do it. You know, people say I can't live without my art. I can't live without. I wish I could say that. I can live without it.
people say that. It's a lie. People are constantly living without their art. So if they have their art and they have other things, it's a mythology there. Do you feel, though, that the practices or the teachings or the meditations and the instructions that you are hearing here are supportive or in conflict with writing? Do they go together or are they two separate?
In a way they support, in the way that, you know, I more and more understand that it's not like, if before I thought that, you know, the book is the goal.
The goal is the book.
Mm. Yes. Now I understand it's not that. It's not that if, before I said, you know, that if you have something, then you'll be happy. If you...
Yes.
But it's not that. So now I think, and I'm more concerned with the writing itself. Mm. I wish more for the, what you say, the flow, all the right, creativity. But I'm not sure I have it, because I know that what I write, if sometimes I look at it,
yes,
it's good.
All right.
It's really good.
All right, good spirit. That's nice to hear.
It's
there's a movement. Follow the movement, because our whole life is engaged in this.
Okay.
There's some intention or some decision. The decision generates some force of nature, some action. In this case, it's called writing. It could be called anything. From the intention comes the movement. That's the movement. and is expressing something which one wants to express. Through that movement comes a result. The result might be called the completion of the short story. The result might be called a book. There. It isn't easy to keep faith with the intention and the movement and not put all the dependency on the result. Some of us, like people like me, some of my books are at the top of the least sellers list. It's quite an achievement. It's not about the book or how many are sold or whatever. It's about something else, expressing something. So, how would you look at the process of meditation? There's some intention, there's some activity, it's called this, or walking, and there's some results. How do you see that movement for you, yesterday and today? Have you been in a retreat world before?
Once.
Once, I have some, all right.
1 week.
1 week, all right, nice.
So, the intention is to live the moment.
All right, nice. You want to keep these things, each point is important. So the intention is a very precious one, to really live the moment, okay, to really feel the moment, to be with the moment, yes.
Okay, the doing is, we're trying through, as I understand it, it's through sensation, through
okay.
Breath.
Yes, yeah, through breath.
Hushim.
Okay.
Yeah, sensation and through breath and through body.
To be here.
To really know what it is to be here.
Mm-hmm. The result is many results.
Mm. Right.
For me. Sometimes sometimes it's frustration.
The result is frustration.
Because I just keep seeing how far I am from that.
Right. Because how far are we away from the intention to be in the moment?
How far are you away
from the moment?
Until I get there, I'm far from there. I don't know. What do you mean?
You say my intention is to be in the moment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You and I sit here. We have some exploration together. Hopefully, we're both in the moment. You know, we're not thinking about breakfast or how nice that coconut cake was earlier. I thought we should have Kevalat Shabbat every day. Just for a coconut cake. I've never had that before. And anyway, another story. All right. So, the coconut cake is gone and tragic. And breakfast has not yet come. We're just being in the moment. Let me just see. Right. We're being in the moment. Is it? What is frustration? I agree. What is the frustration that the self experiences about being in the moment?
Not right now, but when you say, you told me to say a few things.
Yes, yeah.
If I'm there, I don't think there is frustration.
No.
Because you're
right.
There.
Okay.
With whatever there.
All right.
But if I'm sitting and I'm more, and I see how my mind goes.
Dum, dum, dum.
Mm-hmm. Like this, mm. And I still have the intention, but there's nothing to do with
no.
My intention and what's happening.
All right.
Then I feel disappointed.
So, okay, it's good because we want to be as clear and as aware and as conscious of everything as possible. So, here's the intention. The intention is followed through with an activity, a commitment. It's called meditation, it's called being in a retreat, it's called feeling life in the moment as it is. And sometimes the benefit, the result comes. We feel content, we feel steady, we feel present with life, and it's beautiful. Yet, it can be that it isn't easy So that the intention is there, but the outcome can bring everything but what one wishes, called disappointment, called frustration, there. And that can happen in any area, writing or whatever. We can't always get what we want. Somebody in some rock and roll singer said this, I can't remember. Mick Jagger. Anyway. How why is that? The intention is there, the activity is there, in this case called meditation, whatever, and the result is not always there. Why is that? Why can't we always get what we want?
Because that's the way it is.
Ah, exactly. Right, that's the way it is. Why is it so hard a lesson to learn?
I don't know. Good question.
If we really, really, really understood this is the way it is, then the frustration and the disappointment would go down a lot, wouldn't it?
But now when you say, I think about my question.
Good.
And I think what I'm asking is about this wanting, or maybe even wanting to want. It's not always what you want. Okay.
So, come back for a moment or two. There is wanting. It's a beautiful intention to want to really experience the moment, to really feel it, all the senses, the sensations of life, to really know it well. And then the outcome. The benefit, clarity of mind, peace in the heart, wisdom, love for all beings. And yet, this, you know, the self seems to want to sabotage. To blow it up, to stop it. To stop it, to block it. Yeah? Mm-hmm. There. And we're learning to work and to deal with our frustrations and our disappointment. Is disappointment and frustration meaning there is dependency on the result?
No, of course not. Doesn't help if I'm frustrating or
When we experience frustration, when we experience disappointment, is it telling us, wow, I was dependent on the result?
Yes, it means
exactly.
We did the connection.
Yeah. So, looking at ourselves and knowing ourselves in a relationship called the relationship to the here and now, called the relationship to another person, called a relationship to writing. You have to be extremely clear and careful and watchful about the dependency on the result.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So a couple of quiet minutes and then another invitation. Yes, anyone, anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah, please, come. With the recording?
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, all right.
It's a bit connected to the last question.
Yes. It's a bit connected to your questions.
Something you said.
Can you? The some can't hear. So.
Okay. The occupation I have, I feel it's a bit in contradiction to the Dharma or what we learn. In a way, I'm doing documentary films.
Documentary films. Why is it in?
And from what is going these days, more and more, especially on the TV, you need to make drama all the time.
And yes, I know.
And even you have, even if you have a natural situation,
yes,
it's better that you put more drama.
Exactly.
Even if it's a documentary, not even actors. If it's actors, you write the script. You can do whatever you want, right? But these are real situations.
Yes, always. Mm.
And basically, you are requested to put more fire.
Mm.
Otherwise, you don't have audience.
Yes.
This is generally.
Yes.
And I feel it's very opposite than what I learn here, because here it's like my understanding is to make less and less drama. Like.
Definitely. right. So,
and it's also influenced the life, the regular life.
Yes.
Because then it's if it's, there is no drama, it's not interesting.
No. I'm curious. What are the last one or two documentaries you've been working on? What's been the subject?
I did only two.
All right. Okay. So, what are the last two? The first two and the last two.
Okay, one is about an Israeli woman who is married to a Japanese monk and lives in a Buddhist monastery.
Sorry. Israeli woman married to a Japanese monk living in a monastery.
Temple.
Oh, temple.
A temple. they got permission 100 years ago to get married.
I know. Yeah. But the monks call them priests now.
Yeah.
Monks
okay.
like to think. You know. Anyway, yes. Carry on. So you did it. So an Israeli woman is married to a Japanese
and she lived
priest
there
in a temple.
And she lived there for 20 years. And
wow. And what way? What's the story? The story of her life, is it?
It's the story of her life in the temple.
Nice. And
but
this is
an example of something that I do. I feel I feel good about it.
Yes.
I didn't change.
No. That's nice. Okay.
But
all
the
right,
other
nice.
One. For example,
all right then.
The other one is about foreign hostess in Tokyo clubs. You know, like geishas.
Oh yeah, the foreign hostesses in the Tokyo clubs. Mm. Mm. All right, and
there is lots of drama there.
Say a little bit about it's a genuine drama, or you have to exaggerate it.
I had to help it a little bit.
In what way?
No, I. Basically, I didn't have to change. You only have to change reality. Basically, if you just put a camera there, there is lots of drama. You don't have.
No.
It's not. It's not for any subject.
No.
What I said, but.
What's the intention? Let's say with the second one, of people working in these clubs.
Money.
It's women working in the clubs.
Money.
Money. But no, I mean, in making the documentary.
Oh.
What's the intention? So, going to clubs, going to film. It's women working in the clubs, is it? Is it? Foreign women working in the clubs.
Yeah.
What's the message that you wish to communicate to Israeli television viewers? What do you want them to see or understand? Or is it around exploitation? Is it around?
I want to show people live in fantasy world.
Both ways.
Japanese
right.
and like customers and.
Right. So, in this world of the club, there's a lot of desire, projections, money and ego, etc. Do you sense and feel that your film is able to communicate? It's a kind of fantasy world that's created for men and women, eyes, ears, alcohol, touch, or whatever.
Yeah.
So that itself, just communicating that, listening to would seem useful. Right? It is a fantasy world. And there's presumably lots of projections which are going on in both directions. Customers to their clients and clients to their customers. That. Do you have to exaggerate it? Do you have to build it up, make it more drama? Or isn't it a rather strange situation anyway, that men and women are locked into this climate of projection?
And basically, I didn't have to do much in this.
What's the intention with the the intention is the critical. What's the intention with the first film of the Israeli woman living with the Buddhist priest?
What's
the intention?
My intention?
Yeah, to make the film. What do you want to share?
What did I want to share? A person who is choosing her own path and creating a different life.
Yeah, excellent. Those, in listening to you, my immediate response is both have an ethic to it. And they're not problematic. I don't hear anything problematic.
With those films I did, I feel good.
Yes.
The problem is,
in the future.
Yeah, in the future. Like this, I did a few years ago already, and in the TV is getting more and more. This one I did. It was my idea. I did.
Yes.
But you're not always working for yourself.
No.
You're working for producers. Mm. And they want to show show drama on the TV, and then it's different. This is what I meant more.
And in such situations, of course, anybody who is doing relatively well in an area or in a field. And can communicate something, will regularly come to the crossroads where the core question is, do I keep true to something? Do I keep a certain ethic? Do I keep a certain integrity? And therefore, do I have the power inside of me to be able to say no, because one feels it's false, it's exploitive, it's dramatizing something to a point that it's out of touch with the reality, as we're listening today in the afternoon talk. It's not easy to be able at times to say no. Where is your strength going to come from? Because it will happen. Producers will say, oh, would you make this film? And you listen to the story or the content and you say, this is not something I wish to be involved in. I do not wish to work in this way. Well, and sometimes it could cost you whatever, a lot of money, prestige, position, future work. That's the risk if you say no. But you keep something. You're staying true to something.
To myself.
Yes, you're staying true to your perception. You're staying true to your ethic. You're staying true to a value. You're not selling out. You're not compromising. Where's that power going to come from? Stay true to yourself. True to your perception. It's not easy in the commercial world. Or in the spiritual world. It's not easy to stay true to something. Where is that authority, inner authority?
Where it will come from?
Yes, where will it come from?
From my belief.
From your belief, right? From the trust. Do you feel the trust is strong and steady? That you can say no.
No, I don't know because there is no specific.
No. But it will come. It will come. Next week, next month, 10 years, 20 years, it will come.
It will come. I don't know if I, each case I will check and
yes.
I see if I I can see if I can do it without making damage or
yeah.
It to the people who are involved. Or,
yeah. So sometimes other people here too are involved in the arts or involved in valuable work. Somebody comes with an idea, a proposal. You may feel uncomfortable about it. It may require from you to see if you can open the person's view out. Understand? Open their view. They may have a fixed idea.
Who you mean they?
The producer.
Okay.
The producer comes, says, mm-hmm. Look, I want this, here's the money. And then you look at it, and you look and you see another way of looking at it, which brings from you an immediate creativity to find ways to help open that producer's mind. Mm-hmm. So then you keep your ethics and your integrity. He keeps his project and you find some middle ground.
And this will come out of creativity?
It will come out of lots of questions and really asking him lots of questions and to get as much detail as possible. And then from you may come another way of looking at it which shows it has an ethic to it. Mm-hmm. I do feel that people, the public, we're not so foolish and naive, and that there is in the field of documentary making, in that area, a genuine wish for clarity without propaganda, without exaggerating and building things up. People want to see things more subtle. You know, life is not a Hollywood movie. And people like yourself are an extremely important bridge between the producer and the viewer. Mm-hmm. You're the people that count. You're the bridge. And it's a challenge. But it's a challenge of staying awake and staying conscious. Mm-hmm. There. And then you have faith, you will get known for that, and then other things will come which are of value and have an ethic to it. And these days, with DVDs and documentary films and good cinema, it's an incredibly important medium for the Dharma. Very important medium. And so you've got the job. Anything else to add?
No.
Okay, good, thank you. Yes, anyone, anytime? Yes, wish to come? Enough, let's see.
That's a queen.
Pardon?
Queen.
You're feeling like the queen. The queen. Welcome to the throne.
Yeah.
You know, the throne in English is what the queen sits on and what we sit on when we go to the toilet. You know, you call it the throne.
No, your mind is higher. So
it's okay. Higher, all right. Okay. With the recording, okay? Or?
With the recording.
Pardon?
Yes, please.
No problem?
No problem.
Nice.
I'm doing a lot of things I have done in my long life.
Yeah, in your long life. Right.
But some years ago, I am a magician.
A magician?
Magician.
A magician?
A real one.
A real one.
And
nice. Very nice.
Wet.
Everybody knows what a magician is.
And I am a medical clown.
And a medical clown?
Yes. Oh. So.
Fantastic.
It's hard work.
Hard work?
Yeah. I am also taking drugs. Drugs is not difficult because I study from the books.
Telling jokes?
Telling jokes. But love is difficult because...
love is difficult.
Love and love.
Laugh, both of
them. If you don't do it with love, you can't do it. You can't do love.
Right. All right.
It needs a lot of concentration.
Right.
It's hard and will be. Yeah, it's a hard work.
All right.
And
let me get jokes, magician. What's a medical clown?
I've
never heard this.
Hard work. Because
medical.
Because if you have a basic of psychology or social work,
yeah.
you sit down with a group, with a shift that is working with a child,
yes.
for instance,
yeah.
and you can learn about him in the medical point of view, and you have to work on it.
Well.
Okay.
Mm, all right.
And there is something very interesting because in a scientific point of view, they find that if people laugh because they go to surgery or something like that,
yes.
After time, the time to come back to themselves
yes.
is shorter.
That's right.
Oh,
so
yes, yeah, yeah.
so if they go into surgery and they're happy and they're in good spirits and you've
yeah.
made them happy... that when they come back,
yeah,
then they get better, quicker.
Yeah, quicker.
That's right. Good. Nice.
But you must have a lot of love.
Absolutely.
If not, mm. What I am asking myself, if you have on your bag some special tool to...
like a surgeon's knife or something.
No, no knife.
A special tool for... the laughter, no.
To bring something more.
Yes. What would you like to bring more? To bring more what?
It needs concentration.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, maybe we can do something. I don't know. I'm only speaking.
You speak freely.
But maybe we can do something with a kind of light meditation.
Light,
yes.
Light means not heavy or light?
Not heavy, light meditation.
Yeah, light, right.
No, serious, love is serious, my friend.
Yes.
Love is very serious.
In your day or two here, so far, does it feel like heavy meditation?
Here?
Yeah.
No, I went away from Cuenca, so here is very easy for me. Here I am touching myself every time, if it's okay, because...
There are a lot of... there are a lot of refugees from the Goenka course.
That's why I'm touching myself every time, to see if it's okay, if something happened to me.
Those of you who don't know Goenka's teaching, it's very much the emphasis on sitting... and observing sensations and equanimity, isn't it? It's a very strong aspect of the teaching.
I was abroad 3 times
yes.
in France,
mm-hmm.
and I was in Vipassana,
mm-hmm.
and there was a lady standing near the master, and if somebody opens the eyes, she came and she said, and after time the master said, you open your eyes. So
I can hear your French as well. It's nice. You open your eyes. And I know I've heard the same as well sometimes.
I don't know if something is wrong here or something is wrong there.
Well, I am not the person to ask. Ask the others at the end. But more important than the comparing.
Yeah. You know,
we have to find what works and is beneficial for us. But certainly matters of the heart are important. Humour and joy and happiness is very important. And we need to find ways to really bring it into the world there. And that requires love and connection. And right, as you say, even to the point of somebody going in for surgery, going into the operating theatre, still that whole period of time can be one of touching and connecting with the person and responding. And to feel the joy of life and not to be afraid of events. And, we all of us can contribute and support each other a great deal this way. In terms of, but sometimes we are not happy. Sometimes there isn't the joy, the joys of Eve, of life.
No.
And sometimes it's rather important for us to be rather serious. There's a place to be serious about things. What do you find for yourself is important for you to be serious about?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No, nothing.
Nothing.
The life is short and serious. It's not. I paid for serious. Now I change.
Explain.
I paid for being serious.
You paid
life.
For being.
I paid.
What was the price for
I
being serious?
I lost years of studying, of doing. And at least when you go out.
Do you hear this?
You see.
She paid the price for study. Some people here are studying.
University study is not useful. The life is a real university.
Exactly.
That's what said my teacher.
The Irish writer George Bernard Shaw, I think he might have got the Nobel Prize, or he's a great writer. He made a wonderful one-line comment. He said, "The only time I stopped learning was when I went to school."
Clever boy.
Right. Okay. So sometimes we say, gosh, I've spent so much time with thought, with knowledge, with information, with study. Years and years and years can go by. And sometimes there's a price to be paid. How old were you when you realized you had done enough study?
90.
90.
I was an old lady. In Jewish family, you have to bring a paper at home.
Right.
You know,
the paper.
But you study in university. And
I know.
And after time, you do what you wish.
Hmm.
So you study. And no, I am a social worker and come from psychology also.
All right.
But for instance, when I come to people with mental disease,
yes,
they know better than me a lot of things.
Yes.
And I come back home very rich.
Yeah.
So.
It is a terrible pity that we put human beings and the inner life into compartments. And we say, oh, this person's like this, and this person's like this, this person's like this. And we know and they don't know. And it's, you know, there's a lot of foolishness and conceit in all of this. And all of us, we have a lot to learn from with each other. We need more humility with our lives, to really listen to others.
Well, I am strong because I have a red nose, so it's something marvelous.
All right.
And I have clothes.
All right. Yes. All right. So the Joker helps people to.
I think so.
Good. It's a good resource. It's a good tool. It's a good tool. What have been the benefits from your meditation? Here, or with Goenkaji, or elsewhere? What do you find is important and valuable for you? Anything? Because it's very quiet. Most of the day there's no jokes around. So.
There is a lot of jokes.
Oh, there are lots of jokes. All right.
For instance.
You
want to hear about?
Go on.
The master said, please don't bring blankets from home, from the rooms, because it's only for sleeping. Half an hour after that, that's all around, each one brings blankets. So maybe they don't understand. Another time he said, please don't bring pillows. So now it's number two. So have a look, all the pillows are out here. So
there are many anarchists in the room.
No, but it's giving me a lot, really.
Yes.
It's quiet for me, and sometimes I'm laughing alone. It's okay.
Okay. Good spirit. In the culture of Dharma and practice, and now listening and connecting with each other, that joy and good spirit and good humour, you know, the Buddha has made these things so important. He says there are seven factors for total enlightenment. First is awareness, meditation, mindfulness. Second, inquiry. Third, happiness. Fourth, joy. Fifth, calmness. Sixth, energy. You need energy, passion for life. And seventh, steadiness, to be steady in difficult situations, equanimity.
Mm-hmm.
Joy, happiness, serenity, contentment are great features and of our inner life. And we need to remind each other of this. So you don't make things, you know, it's finding the middle way, not things not being heavy, mm-hmm. yet not being light, that it's superficial. Mm-hmm. That's the danger. You know, it just gets light and there's no depth to it. You find the middle way between these two. Good, thank you. Thank you. A couple of minutes and then another person from the other agenda. Have a couple of quiet minutes first. Yes, anyone? No pressure. But is the recording?
Absolutely.
Done?
Okay.
No problem?
No.
Okay, all right.
I wanted to speak about war.
About?
War.
War?
Yeah.
Yes, please do.
I started this year with the fear, and every day I think about this, and I think what we can do against the war, how we can fight it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm trying to talk to other people, my friends,
yes,
and everyone sure that it will be.
Mm.
Israel and people sure 100% that it will be, because we have 60 years of war.
Yes.
And what about others?
Mm. So the concern is, and it's a very important one, that because of the history, terrible nightmare of last summer and the ongoing conflict, that this will just continue, and what you hear from others and what you hear from and you feel from within, that fighting, war, conflict is just ongoing. What are steps that you can take?
What
are the steps?
You know,
what can you say? What's the action? What's the intention? What can you do?
I know.
I mean, the country is at war. I'm in a country too, from a country that's at war.
I think, you know, today television is full of films about war.
Mm.
Every new film is about war.
Yes.
Warner Brothers is warning you, okay?
I'm but sorry, what's that?
Warner Brothers. Yeah, warning us
yes.
about
mm-hmm.
war.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
no one listening to them.
No.
And what we can do, just, I think we have, we should be sure that it's not will be.
All right.
This is the way.
Okay, so one valuable, and I completely agree, is to raise a question mark. So instead of this kind of despair and conclusion that easily gets drawn, just war, we're just always at war, there's no end to this war, to raise a question about it.
Ah, the question.
A question, yeah. Put a question mark. Does it have to be like this?
My question?
No, my question. I'm encouraging you, I'm giving you encouragement to keep the question alive.
Ah, to keep the question alive.
Yeah. Does this country have to be constantly in a state of war?
I think this country have to stop this. People drop the gun. I can tell you to everyone. And I think, no, just the atomic war weapon can destroy all the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the power of this today. It's not frozen.
No.
It's just...
Can I ask, how old are you?
Sorry?
How old are you? What's your age?
30.
30. So, did you do your time in the Israeli armed forces?
No.
Because you came after?
No.
Either?
I just... straight out.
Yeah.
Straight out.
Avoided.
And what did you do? So what happened between the age of 18 and 21?
18 and 21?
Hmm.
I was in Israel, studied in the university.
Mm-hmm.
I have
degree.
And after I graduated, in 26 I told to myself, okay, it's too late to go to army. And I told it to people in army, that it's too late for me.
Yeah, and they agreed?
Yeah.
Good.
It's not too simple, but...
No.
Today you have play depression for this. And schizophrenics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm graduated. Yes, in this. So, I don't know. But the question: how to stop it? I have a solution, but my friend's joking on me.
Do you feel the voice of concern and protest against violence, against war within the state and with another state is a very important voice to keep alive? It's an important voice. Your voice is important.
Mm-hmm.
But it's to keep it alive constantly, to keep the flame alive inside. Do you have the support of other voices?
I have a support.
Do you have friends?
No.
Who?
No one agree with me. My friends.
None agree.
No. Most of people show that war is definitely required for progress, for technologies. There are. Too much inventions, that was made in the time of war, and so we have to fight, we have make war.
So there's the state of war. The support for it is protecting the nation state. The support for it is to attack others, whoever it may be, Palestinians, Lebanese, or whoever. The support for it is that there is a large industry at work called the armaments industry. The support for it are politicians in power who want to use that power to show how strong they are.
Yes.
All of this, the emotional, the ego, prestige, power, position, use of weapons,
money, mixed with
money, emotional identification with the nation state, all of it, boom, one has war. That's not easy to test and challenge. It's not easy to look at all of that and say, whew, this is driving people to kill other people.
I could sleep.
So, if your friends believe in war, or if your friends say, look, nothing you can do, and every time the thought in the mind, there's nothing we can do, this is despair. I call this a state of depression. It may not feel like it, but it's a state of despair. There's nothing we can do. If you can't get support from your friends, where can you get it from? Otherwise you'll be one voice. And eventually your voice will go very quiet. What's going to keep the voice alive?
I know, internet petition to all governments.
Right.
We can try the all planet strike.
All planet strike?
Strike, yeah. To... I know, no, to trying to, in the same time that all people will tell the government, we will not to work tomorrow and tomorrow, how it's happening in Israel.
Right.
Ports in a strike, government in a strike, all the countries strike. What the problem to make all planet to strike this?
It's a big vision. It's a big vision. And between the vision, what's your name?
Georgi.
Georgi. Between vision and Georgi, there are maybe some steps.
Some steps.
Mm. So this evening you have a group of people who at the very beginning with the instructions from Rakafet, the very first teaching that was given in this here was the guideline to engage in the practice not to kill.
Yes.
The guide is a practice of not giving support to killing. We have to find a way that words resolve problems, not weapons.
Yes, but it's problem because all the people see, they know the history and they claim that it's required with people kills people. Hayot?
Animals.
Animals. Killing animals.
Mm.
So we have to kill.
Very poor reasoning, I agree. The accent.
Not my point of view.
No, no, I know.
My.
The accent is Russian, isn't it? Is Russian. We're hearing some Russian.
So Russian.
Yeah?
Georgia.
Oh, Georgia.
No,
right.
No, not American Georgia.
No, I know. I know that way. Right. Well, you know, in that part of the world, in the Second World War, 20 million
50.
People died. 50 million 50. People died. It's just unbelievable what human beings do to each other. So, in that respect, here, it's one, there has to be some vision. One has to be very consistent,
consistent
to keep the vision.
Yeah, consistent.
But, yeah.
People talks, the war was yesterday, the war is today, so it must be tomorrow.
Yes, I know.
If
I know,
it's like a flow of water.
Exactly. It's despair. It's despair. I agree. This is a terrible way of thinking. I completely agree. I know when I came in October, so the war on the Lebanese people finished in, I think, in August. And so 2 months later, just in talking with friends who are very concerned, and some of our friends like Iran living right on the frontier up there of Lebanon in Western Galilee, etc. And the impact of all of that, you know, the cost, the psychological, the emotional cost, the cost of happiness in Israel is very, very high. There's no peace in this country.
No.
There's no happiness, real happiness.
No place on the planet, there is the peace. No place.
Because of the conflict. But
all the planet and the war. You
true.
Can show me the place.
We've got, we can
Australia
only
maybe.
We'll keep to Israel for
New
a moment.
We've got
6 million is enough. 6 billion is too many at the moment. We'll keep to what we have here. There. And so something, some voices need to come through. It's an important voice. It needs to come through. Some questioning has to start. It has to keep going. There are wonderful groups in Israel who share the same voice. Do you have any contact with them? There's some very beautiful organizations who are deeply concerned with resolving of conflict. There are important practices and methods available. There's communications that are taking place. Do you have any contact, or do you feel totally isolated? For you, do you have any contact with these networks?
Mm.
Do you get the question?
יש לך קשר עם כל הקבוצות האחרות שעסוקות בעצם להציל את כאילו
לשלום?
So at the end of the retreat, you come and find me, and we'll talk. I have some friends here as well who share the same voice, and it's important that, as I said, that the voice is kept alive.
Yeah. Voice in the desert.
It doesn't matter what desert it's in. So the words land. There's just too much suffering. Too much suffering, but at every level, men, women, children, environment, animals, creatures, everywhere, it's far too much. And it will not, change will not come from governments. It never has. The change comes from people, and people influence the government. Change comes from the grassroots, people like you and me and others. We'll make the change, and then eventually they will listen. We have to trust in our own power. Keep your voice alive. Good spirit. Nice one. Thank you. End of the retreat, you tell him your story. End of the retreat, all right? End of the retreat. Good. Okay. Today is just for listening. Thank you. Couple of quiet minutes just to finish, please. the inquiry this evening. I'll just give a little reflection on the inquiries. We touched upon in the initial period our relationship to intention and the activity that follows on from the intention. But it is rather vital and important that in many situations in life the results of our intentions are not in our hands. All manner of circumstances and situations and people and places affect the results of our intentions. But hopefully that doesn't stop us from finding out what wise intention is, what clear action is, and even if it may not bring the result that we wish. As Georgia was just saying at the end, there's the intention with regard to the ending of war. If there's a lot of dependency on the result, it will easily lead to unhappiness, to despair, to stress, and to burnout. And then we'll lose the passion for that intention. So sometimes in life, we stay true to something. We stay as truthful to something as much as we can, no matter what the outcome. If we sense that there is a deep value in that engagement, in that activity. Times, in that staying true to something, it enters into the area, as we were listening to, in the field of creativity. There's a tremendous amount of creativity, and the arts and culture, which is so vitally important for human life, in a way is a kind of transcendent to the ordinary, to the mundane, to just going through life, birth, aging, pain and death. It speaks of something symbolic and factually, something greater. And it's very, very important that culture and art and creativity are alive in our life, that we're not just passive in relationship to that. But in order for the arts, for the documentary filmmaking, and for many other forms, so easily that which is beautiful and meaningful easily is manipulated, easily is exploited for ego, for prestige, feeling that's what people want, for money. And that's when the clarity and the quiet determination has to come in at times, and sometimes we just have to say no, because there's a point of ethic, there's a point of a principle which we must stay true to and keep faith with it. Even if others say, oh, you're just romantic, you're just idealizing, you're out of touch with reality, it's not how things are. Let people say all of that, but let's stay true to an ethic, regardless of what's said around us. And it isn't easy to keep faith and trust with that. And we often need the good support and the good reminders from each of us to stay true to something. And sometimes we don't have a word for it. We don't have a language or a religion or a belief, but still we stay true to something. And there's power in that as well. And similarly, we had the reminder to, in every area of life, of joy and of happiness and fun and good humour and creativity that takes place. And so here in the Dharma Hall is one small example. When sometimes we tell a story or there's some engagement with some humour in it. In fact, it's not just to make everybody feel light and nice and comfortable. It's, as it were, the humour has, as it were, a serious side to it. And the purpose of the humour is to touch the heart. Mm-hmm. To touch the heart. And I know sometimes as a small servant of the Dharma, you may listen and notice sometimes, I'll tell story or express some humour or whatever it might be in a talk, and very quickly afterwards I'll try to communicate the deepest truth I know, so that the heart's open and receptive, and maybe something will land and touch and be helpful and valuable, not as a belief, but just something which may be valuable. And when the heart's in good spirits and there's happiness and joy, which are a great feature of Dharma teaching, we're also very, very receptive. And you and I, we all know when somebody is blaming us, somebody is finding fault with us, somebody is putting us down, it's extremely difficult to listen. It's extremely difficult to learn. It's extremely difficult to find out something about ourselves. But when there is love and friendship and happiness and connection, we're interested. We're attentive. We learn from each other. We discover with each other. And humour has a vital role to play in all of that. It's a great resource that we have. And sometimes, and so appropriate, we can go from one inquiry around jokes and humour and laughter, and suddenly we shift, and beautifully and importantly so, to war and conflict and hatred and desire and pain. And our life is like that. In one moment it can shift. Can we be ready for what comes next in our life? Can we live with love, live with happiness, and touch on those areas which are important and are serious? It's like with the first the talk that I gave with Krishna. He's, you know, it's a kind of message saying, let's explore the full intimacy of our life, inner love, passion, the romance of life. Let's really feel that, and as well really engage with life, of all of its problems, of all of its ethical issues. And let's not say one is more important than the other, that we really attend to both. And in one space of four people coming this evening and sharing and opening and talking with us, whoa, it's the story of our life that's represented in four people. Time now is 8:50, so our good bell ringer would ring the bell in about 15-20 minutes time, a stretch of the legs, and then we'll have a 20 minute sitting until 9:30 and end of the day. Thank you for listening. Thank you.